Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, where we interview business owners, leaders, or marketing professionals to find out their lessons and stories for success.
Welcome to episode 122 of the CMO Marketing Podcast with me, your host, Simon Dell. Today, we're going to interview a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Poynter from the Greater Newcastle area, and that's Newcastle in Australia, not Newcastle in the north of England. Jonathan is a bit of an expert when it comes to live streaming video. That is a huge marketplace. In most of the different platforms have a live streaming capacity. Jonathan has been doing it for a while. He knows how to do it, what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, all the tips and hints. Everything that you need to know about getting into live streaming is going to be taught to you by Jonathan today. So listen in, stay on this podcast. You're going to learn a huge amount. And now before we do that, before we talk to Jonathan, the usual housekeeping about CMO, come and talk to us, CMO.com. If you're looking for marketing staff, we are a marketing staff on demand business. We're not a recruitment agency. We are on demand marketing people. That's pretty much what we do. So if you need a senior strategist, a junior coordinator, if you need a copywriter, graphic designer, you name it, we've pretty much got access to all of it. CMO.com, come and find me, email me at simon@cmo.com. We're on LinkedIn, we are on TikTok. It's hard not to find us, CEMOH, nice and easy to remember. And lastly, before we jump into the interview, if you're looking to do your own podcast or any kind of audio work, Gilberto@thepodcastboss.com. He will help you out. He's been with us from day one doing this podcast. So we very much appreciate what Gilberto does. Anyway, enough of all that. Let's jump in and find out a little bit more about video streaming from Jonathan Poynter. So welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast. Today I have with me Jonathan Poynter. How are you?
Hey, Simon. I'm well. I'm very well.
Good, good. Now, you're the Managing Director of Streaming House. Do you want to give us the quick elevator pitch as to what the hell Streaming House do out there in the world?
Yeah, look, streaming is one of the most the fastest growing and most effective forms of content that business can use. And we kind of saw that coming in 2018. So took some of the video resources that we had in our digital agency and set up a specialist company for live streaming.
Okay, so as you said, there's been a massive growth in it, especially with COVID and things like that. It's just, an explosion in people wanting to stream content. Platforms like Twitch, I guess, have really helped contribute to what you guys are doing.
It's sort of where it began, or just Twitch was about the second platform for live streaming, and it's sort of where streaming as a phenomenon started. It's interesting. About a month ago, I had to write an article that is the evolution of live streaming, and Twitch was a really big part of that.
I'll go straight to a question that I would probably normally ask at the end, but now we've just talked about Twitch. Where do you see that evolution occurring? I mean, we're in 2021 now. We're reaching the end of 2021. What can you see in the future that perhaps we as normal people can't see? What do you think is going to be the end result?
Look, this answer is going to be part hope and part reflection. You know, one of the things I've seen over the last 2 years particularly is that gap between physical contact with brands. We go into stores, we go to conferences, whether it's B2B or B2C, that gap between the physical and the digital world, you know, here are our slick ads, here's our slick website, here's our slick social. The gap has been getting closer and closer, and as a streaming advocate, everything we do is kind of designed to try and bring that gap closer and closer. COVID and all the lockdowns that have happened over the last couple of years, that's sped that process up a hell of a lot. You know, big conferences now have to be live streamed and virtual, and that's where businesses are starting to use it. But there are smaller, more bleeding edge companies that are starting to look at really clever ways of mixing that physical space with that digital space, bringing it together and having consumers operate in either and even crossing the line sometimes. So, you know, where it's going is anyone's guess, but it's going to be exciting. We think it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah. And I guess the interesting thing with Twitch, I mean, Twitch isn't particularly old itself, is it? When was that founded?
Oh, I couldn't tell you the year, but it's maybe 10 years.
Okay. I mean, the thing that sort of really struck me, and I'm not a watcher of live streams, certainly not people gaming and things like that. I mean, I have watched Twitch and I understand how it works and those kind of platforms. But what I found incredibly interesting was, you know, when I bought a new smart TV 6 months ago, and you know, next thing I've got all these apps on my smart TV, and there is Twitch. Yep. It's a TV channel. You know, these live streaming platforms are now real TV channels.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at the likes of Netflix and Stan and those streaming megaliths. They're where it started, but then there's this other end that Twitch has sort of started, and now there are other platforms coming on. And of course, when you've got digital TVs, it's very easy just to have that as an additional channel.
Yeah. Do you think that's where Netflix will be going? You know, back into the live. I mean, I know some of these streaming channels are now doing live sports as well, but that's, you know, which is kind of almost back to where we all started from, but. You know, do you think they're, you know, Netflix would be signing up, you know, influencers or, you know, streaming influencers?
I don't think Netflix will be. Yeah, I don't think Netflix will be, but I know that brands will be. You know, there's a new trend out there just recently where influencers are being set up to do a live stream on behalf of a brand. So they call it an influencer takeover. But you give an influencer a holiday, but give them all the gear to live stream and set up the calendar and the cadence for them. And suddenly those influencers are live streaming your product, your experience with so much more credibility than if you did it. So that's happening. There's also, you know, we've been looking at, well, we've done an event recently for a university in Australia where we custom made a website for their live stream. And the first year they did their open day, we had 14 different stages all running on the one website with live Q&A on every single stage. So people watching from home could actually engage with the live streamers. So the university kind of created their own channel. This year, we've recently finished it in August. This year, we added another function to that website and that event, which was midway through your exploration of all of this live content. You could press a button and suddenly be having a one-on-one meeting within the website with a lecturer, sort of to ask them questions. Hey, I'd just been watching so-and-so and I wanted to talk one-on-one with somebody. And then they click out of that and they go back to the live stream. So really reducing that gap between the physical and the digital is paying dividends for a lot of companies. So I think that's where it's going to go. I think the companies are going to drive it rather than the major streamers.
Now, we've obviously talked about Twitch. What other channels do you see, what other platforms do you see that are making inroads or getting lots of eyeballs, you know, LinkedIn, YouTube, are there others that we should be aware of?
Oh, look, I think the major social channels, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, they all give people the opportunity to live stream now. And businesses particularly are starting to take advantage of them. There are some advantages to using social channels as your live streaming sort of decision, but there are also some disadvantages. So some companies are basically setting up their own video servers and building their own experiences or using other platforms like On24 or Hopin or Bevy, right? There are huge platforms being built for businesses so that they can live stream easily, but don't have to go to social media for it. The disadvantage is you've got to build your own audience, whereas streaming on a social media platform, building an audience is very easy and you get that benefit of quick awareness and quick reach. But if you want, say, privacy, if you want exclusivity, if you want, you know, analytics beyond what you can get from a social media channel or a YouTube, et cetera, you can actually set your own up. Or you can use one of these platforms for your live streaming. And live streaming is becoming very quickly something that every business needs to include in their content plan.
And I guess sort of taking that, what you've just said there, I go, we all need to include live streaming, but how does a, is it still there really just for the bigger businesses? Or is, that, is this something that the SMEs can really take advantage of?
Totally. We've worked with a client that is a two-man business and recommended for them, and they were a local business, right? They weren't in a major capital city, but an easy live stream through social media and a small web page that was built for them. They promoted the hell out of it on social media and to their mailing lists. It was a small local business, and they promoted their live streams to a local audience. Right. It was, they gave themselves, they just got themselves guests to talk to. It was half an hour every second Thursday, one camera, one operator. And as long as they did it every 2 weeks, over a period of 5 months, they built an incredible following. Yeah. And it gave them the reach and awareness that we knew that they needed in their area.
So, I mean, again, size of business is potentially irrelevant. It, does, do you think it works better for certain industries or, you know?
That's a really good question. I actually don't know the answer to that because we take every industry that comes to us or every company that comes to us as a different custom case. But those, B2B particularly, B2B marketers and brands, I think it is more immediately useful for conversion. Whereas B2C, you've got different dynamics playing. So for B2B, being thought leaders, interview panels, tutorials of your product, those sorts of things done live where you've got interactivity, other business people can ask questions, you really are – you're bringing them so much closer to that moment of conversion that it's a fantastic tool. So – B2C, I've seen it work well there as well. I don't know that there is any industry that it doesn't work for. I haven't seen it work for mining yet, but we've done a live stream panel discussion for an environmental consultancy who work with mining all the time, and it was incredibly successful for them.
And is this the sort of thing, I guess I want to get into now the equipment, you know, because that's the sort of technical side of things, because people are sitting there going, right, well, I want to do this. I want to have a go at this. What do they need from an equipment perspective? Because we got our LinkedIn approval for LinkedIn Live 2-3 months ago. And then when you look through all the specs, you need this little thing to plug into your computer. And you're just like, all of a sudden it gets a bit complicated. So I was always a bit fearful. Is that kind of going to, you know, scare people off?
Yeah, look, first let me, a caveat, I'm not a technical person. I'm a marketer, right? So I have technical people that do this for us.
I've got
a technical lead. I have picked up a bit over the last few years, though.
Yeah.
And look, for some social media channels, you can do a live stream using your iPhone.
Right.
It can be done, right? Okay. You want to watch for quality and you want to make sure that you're not reflecting on your own brand in a way that you didn't expect to. So you're right to pause if it looks complicated. But, you know, a bottom line is a camera, a microphone, and a switcher, which is about $400, $450 worth of equipment and a few tutorials, and you can actually be on your way. It's not that expensive. We have huge clients like Adobe and Macquarie University that obviously we use the bells and whistles for. But we have a lot of smaller clients too where we do literally take one person, one laptop, one camera and a switcher and we're streaming away for them. So,
okay.
You know, it's not a breeze, but it also isn't that difficult either.
And again, you touched on earlier about content, you know, it being, you know, you could be tutorials and things like this. I guess, you know, I always tend to use the famous Jerry Seinfeld quote, the fact that he believes there's no such thing as an attention span. And I'm going to paraphrase what he says here. He sort of says that, you know, if you're entertaining people, you know, there is no such thing as an attention span. They'll watch for hours. I guess there's a danger that you could be talking about something on a live stream that you find interesting that not necessarily everybody else finds interesting.
So true. So true. It's like any content. You've got to pick your mark. One of the things we do recommend to a lot of companies is get a good host, right? If you've got a budget, get a good host. If you've got one within your organization, great, use them. Make sure you rehearse them, but always make sure that that host is ready to move things along, to rescue something if it's going down a rabbit hole. You know, there are skills involved in hosting a live discussion, just like there are skills involved in creating content on any platform. One of the great things, there's a couple of things about that, though. One of the things about live streaming is the trust that it engenders for a brand, right? Our consumers are used to getting really slick messages all the time because we as marketers prepare them carefully, right? Yeah. But you get on a live stream and you fluff something, right? That's called authentic. That's called authenticity, and you cannot buy that. You cannot buy trust for a brand, but, you know, you start getting the giggles or, you know, you sort of fluff something and have to start again. The humanity in that brings the distance between a consumer and a brand together so quickly. You can't hide. And, you know, one of the examples we use is Donald Trump, right? His authenticity took him a very long way. And that was really what people in the States, I still can't quite believe they did it, but they went for authentic over the sort of the traditionally marketed and packaged products. Yeah. Now, you know, whether you agree with it or not, he was authentic, you know, and you just cannot buy that level of trust. And streaming that live thing, you know, people love to watch a train wreck, right? But also they like to see that you're human. And they get that you're just like me. And so that's a really big advantage of streaming. Have a good host, though, because, you know, we did a stream a while ago. I won't sort of mention it. It was a government organization and it was a general manager of that organization. And, you know, he did put the world to sleep. Now, fortunately, the audience was well chosen. You know, it was a group of people that really did want to know what he was talking about, but the rest of us were struggling to stay awake. But, you know, again, choose your audience and be human, and everything works. It's fabulous fun like that.
It's funny, I did a video. It wasn't a live stream, but I did a video for a client of ours, a very dry subject matter, environmental air control, air
fabulous stuff.
It's just, and they were demonstrating a piece of equipment, and when you watch back what was a 20-minute demo, you were just like, this is interesting content. But you know, from a person who doesn't understand their business, you're just sitting there going, But at the end of the day, the two things that came out of that, which echoes what you've said, was it was them. It was really authentic. They believed what they were talking about, and they were 100% invested in the product. And you could tell that they were, you know, there. And the fact that it was a bit kind of, it was them raw, that actually made it quite appealing. You could have done this very shiny, glossy, 5-minute product demo and lost the authenticity behind the people doing it. So
that is what happens,
So
there's a couple of points there too. We're pushing our clients these days, always try and make your live stream interactive, right? Yeah. Have your audience there, But there's, I've just put up a blog post on our website about five things you can do to increase the conversion rate of your live stream content. Right. Now, if you've got interactivity, whether it's an anonymous Q&A, whether it's a chat thread, whether it's polling, you can put all of these things together with your live stream and your audience is actually participating. It's a great way to get some feedback on how the content's going. Hopefully you've done your homework and you've targeted the right audience. But if you haven't and you've got some feedback mechanisms, you can see in real time what's going on, what do they want and what do they not want. The flip side to that is your post-event or your post-live stream analytics. You can watch that and see where you have those drop-offs of audience. You know, somebody was with us and then they left at about the point we put that guy on. Right. Okay. And lesson learned for next one. So you've got real time feedback and you've got post event feedback that you want to be using to do it. Now, I was part of a discussion a few days ago that was there's some research that's just come out of the States that has literally said the most conversion strong piece of content you used to be able to do was an ebook. Right. If you put an ebook out, you would get a lot. If it was aimed at the right people and had the right information, lots of people will download it. And that's a conversion. Okay. Right. Live streaming has just surpassed the ebook as the most conversion positive type of content you can put out on the market. And I think it's because we're human, we're real time and we're human, and that trust is built solidly. So have that interaction in there, man.
And in terms of something you said earlier on about building the audience, and this is kind of a two-part question, if someone's sitting watching this or listening to this and is thinking, hey, I want to get into this, do you just recommend, you know what, just do it? And, you know, I mean, yes, there's an element of planning, but is it just do it and make some mistakes and just get better and better and better? Because to me, I often would say to clients, you know, you can over-engineer this, you can overthink this, just do something. Even if the first one looks ridiculous, at least you've learned and you can grow and you can get better and better and better. And the second part of that question is then how do you grow the audience? Is it just about delivering consistency, just same time every week, same sort of format, that kind of thing?
I'll answer the first part. Plan a bit. Right. Don't go overboard with the planning, but plan a bit, because you want to make sure that what you're doing is not something that could be just video content that we've just decided to make live. You want it to have a point for people. So plan that carefully. A lot of people in the early days did that whole, I'll hold my iPhone up and I'll talk to the camera while I'm walking as a live stream because my audience likes that. Well, turns out they don't. It's a bit of a wank. So have a plan for what is really going to be useful for your audience. And then just do it and then take the feedback and plan to do it again. Now, as for audience reach, that cadence, that doing it regularly at the same time, combined with having the right content topics, will get you a good audience, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Bring on some guests. You'll build an audience faster that way, bringing an influencer on or bringing somebody else on. Nobody wants to hear you talk all the time. They actually want to hear industry experts or influencers or the people that got it wrong. You know, the great thing about live streaming is you can do content that is we're doing a behind-the-scenes conversation now because we attempted this thing and our engineer – it was a complete failure, but we thought we'd get our engineer in here to have a chat to us about what went wrong. Now, the engineer's got an audience, maybe, maybe not. Maybe you bring in an influencer at the same time. So if you want to build your audience quickly, have guests and have guests that are really relevant to your target market because they'll share it. They'll promote it. They'll share it. And once somebody's seen one of your streams, they'll come back and watch another one.
Mate, that's been extremely helpful. I think, you know, the whole live streaming thing is – it's something we want to do, and it's something we know we can do.
Well, give us a call, Simon. You know,
it's fine. We even have the capacity in house. We actually have our own in house videographer. You know, we have a whole team that can put these things together. But it's been we're kind of looking at it from a distance. Do you know what I mean? We're like eyeing it suspiciously over there.
Oh,
going,
jump in, man. Jump in. It's lots
and,
of fun.
And I think what the other thing is that I think about if you're going to do it, you want to do it properly and you want to make a real kind of go at it. So, you know, there's a wariness that of not half-assing something because it's very easy to half-ass things. You know, so yeah, it's certainly something that we need to look at in the next couple of months. And, you know, hopefully this conversation has given us the impetus to do it. Who do you watch on a regular basis? Who do you think is doing it well?
You know, we have a few competitors, but you know, I have to be honest, we've got a client, Adobe, and we do their APAC stuff. We do that. We sort of started their APAC live monthlies, three or four years ago now. They do that themselves now. They got good enough to be able to take it over and go, yep, we've got this. But now we create a podcast for a different part of Adobe. And they're pushing the envelope quite a bit, not just with us, but the stuff they're doing overseas, the stuff that's coming out of their United States is really intriguing and really interesting. There's a platform here in Australia that's quite big called On24. Now, On24 is a streaming platform service provider. So if you've got a conference and you want one place where you can have all the bells and whistles and you don't want to build your own website or your own customer experience, they have a platform you can use, and it's already got a lot of the functions and features built into it. One of the things I like about On24 is they're totally dedicated to the engagement part of live streaming. So their content, I love watching. You know, there's a degree of professional jealousy, but you know what? They're clever people, and I just love the stuff that they're doing.
It's interesting. I was on one of these new streaming news shows the other week, and I'm fairly sure nobody, you know, it doesn't get a lot of viewers and things like that, but they seem to be popping up quite a lot now, is that people that are sort of going, hey, we can create a news, and it was a 24-hour news thing.
Yeah, is this Ticker?
And, maybe it was. Maybe I can't actually remember the name of it. But there are a few of them up there now, and they're sort of trying to find their space in you know, the marketplace. Maybe it was Ticker News. Let me have a look.
Yeah, they're giving it a red hot go.
Yeah, they are. Do you know, I have seen Ticker News. It wasn't them, but it was something similar to them.
Yep.
You know, and I guess that's where it could go. And you know, if you could sit there and say there's no reason that you couldn't create something like Ticker News for your industry, like, you know, specific stuff. I mean, there's a lot of work there. But
that's right. Look, I mean, it's... you can cut this if you like, but I'm a mad football fan, you know. English Premier League, Serie A, you know, you name it, I'm into football, and I'm a coach. I actually bumped into a mate of mine who was the CEO of an accounting company a couple of years ago. Every time we see each other, the football banter comes up, you know, poor bastard's an Arsenal fan. I went to him just before the 2018 World Cup, and I said to him, you know, look, crazy idea, but, you know, life's too short. What do you think about you and I? We turn my boardroom into a studio, a bit makeshift, but we'll do it. We'll put one camera up, and every day for the whole 30 days of the World Cup, you and I do a video show about what happened, you know, in the last 24 hours. And it's just, you know, you're a referee, I'm a coach, we're two middle-aged men from Newcastle, you know. It's got all the sort of makings of a complete flop. but we had a lot of fun with it. We really we put daily gags and things in it. We started that for us rather than anybody else. But by the time we finished, we had a few thousand followers and some sponsors.
Wow.
And it was, you know, just two blokes sitting there doing, you know, buffy stuff about footy during a World Cup. The thing was called Putin Football First. And we've actually had people pushing us to make it a podcast. We're getting ready for Qatar next year. You know, so we had a lot of fun, but it gained a following. It was the authenticity of it. So it's very easy if you kind of just concentrate for a little bit and set things up. We had $250 worth of lights in the boardroom. Yeah. We had one, you know, Canon camera. It wasn't that big a deal, but we would get together every morning. By the end of it, we were sick as dogs, we were exhausted. But we got some great guests as well. We had some really good guests come on. So We did that more for fun, but it really showed how easily and simply a special interest live stream or content can take off because of that authentic, nature.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, if anyone wants to reach out to you, Jonathan, what's the best way of getting hold of you?
Hey, streaminghouse.com.au is our website. You can find me on LinkedIn, Jonathan Poynter.
Yep.
We're talking to companies and businesses all the time. Not everyone goes ahead, but we're more than happy to chat to them and give them advice as well.
Cool. Awesome. Mate, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, Simon, thank you, man.
Hopefully that's given us the kick up the arse that we need to get started
ourselves. I'll call
you in a
week. Make sure you're doing it.
And I guess my final question is, who do you support in the Premiership?
Oh, look, I am actually a long-standing Ipswich Town fan, so I'm nowhere near the Premier League at the moment.
won't be for a while, yes.
In League One. That said, I do follow coaches. Being a coach myself, I'm fascinated by football coaching. So Pep Guardiola, Thomas Tuchel, and Jurgen Klopp really fascinate me.
All right, well, I'm a Spurs fan, so thank God you didn't tell me you were an Arsenal fan. A Spurs fan and an England fan, I've suffered for 40 years now, and I'm just
That's
used
right.
to it.
Oh,
I'm
look, like, I feel for you, man. I am an English. Yeah. I am a fan of the English team, and unfortunately, I'm married to an Italian.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're still getting over that small event about a month ago, but we'll get there.
Mate, thank you very much. It's been lovely to talk to you, and have a good rest of your Friday and your weekend as well.
You too, man. Well done.
That's it for the SEMO Marketing Podcast for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in. We look forward to you joining us next week. And if you want to find out any more about SEMO, www.semo.com.